We're so thankful that you decided to join us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We have been discussing Luke 22, 1 through 46. This is our fourth week on it. We hope you've been following along and listening to us. And so once Carrie reads it, we are going to summarize maybe, and Tara's going to talk about the importance of listening and also to learn what we found out about Jesus in this passage.
Yeah. I was writing something down, Sandy, so you're going to laugh, because I was like, you know what?
Well, really, writing what I wrote?
Really? Like, God's still teaching me. I'm not done yet. Honestly, listening is a big part of it, but we're going to summarize what we can learn from Judas and what we can learn from Jesus. Mm-hmm. And just as Sandy was talking, I was like, wait, no.
Maybe
actually,
we should do something else. Huh?
It's the power of patience is the description I decided I wanted, and it's the power of patience. And what we're going to see is we're going to see the bad and the good, because we see in Judas he was
bad.
Patient,
yeah.
And we're going to see in
Greedy, Jesus,
he is patient with the disciples.
Yeah, he is.
And so as Carrie reads this passage, it's going to be long because it's a lot of verses. You just need to be patient.
and listen.
Please.
Okay, drum roll. It's the power of patience, both the good and the bad. Okay.
And now the Passover celebration was drawing near, the Jewish festival when only bread made without yeast was used. The chief priests and other religious leaders were actively plotting Jesus' murder, trying to find a way to kill him without starting a riot, and a possibility they greatly feared. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he went over to the chief priests and captains of the temple guards to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. They were, of course, delighted to know that he was ready to help them and promised him a reward, so he began to look for an opportunity for them to arrest Jesus quietly when the crowds weren't around. Now the day of the Passover celebration arrived, when the Passover lamb was killed and eaten with the unleavened bread. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead to find a place to prepare their Passover meal. "Where do you want us to go?" they asked. And he replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, you will see a man walking along carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the man who lives there, 'Our teacher says for you to show us the guest room where he can eat the Passover meal with his disciples. He will take you upstairs to a large room all ready for us. That is the place. Go ahead and prepare the meal there.' They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and prepared the Passover supper. Then Jesus and the others arrived, and at the proper time all sat down together at the table. And he said, 'I have looked forward to this hour with deep longing, anxious to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat it again until what it represents has occurred in the kingdom of God.' Then he took a glass of wine, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, 'Take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come.' Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had thanked God for it, he broke it apart and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me.' After supper, he gave them another glass of wine, saying, 'This wine is the token of God's new agreement to save you, an agreement sealed with the blood I shall pour out to purchase back your souls. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. I must die. It is part of God's plan, but oh, the horror awaiting that man who betrays me.' Then the disciples wondered among themselves which of them would ever do such a thing. And they began to argue among themselves as to who would have the highest rank in the coming kingdom. Jesus told them, 'In this world, the kings and great men order their slaves around, and the slaves have no choice but to like it. But among you, the one who serves you best will be your leader. Out in the world, the master sits at the table and is served by his servants, but not here, for I am your servant. Nevertheless, because you have stood true to me in these terrible days, and because my Father has granted me a kingdom, I, here and now, grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in that kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you to sift you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith should not completely fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen and build up the faith of your brothers.' Simon said, 'Lord, I am ready to go to jail with you and even die with you.' But Jesus said, 'Peter, let me tell you something. Between now and tomorrow morning, when the rooster crows, you will deny me three times, declaring that you don't even know me.' Then Jesus asked them, When I sent you out to preach the good news and you were without money, duffel bag, or extra clothing, how did you get along? Fine, they replied. But now, he said, take a duffel bag if you have one and your money. And if you don't have a sword, better sell your clothes and buy one. For the time has come for this prophecy about me to come true. He will be condemned as a criminal. Yes, everything written about me by the prophets will come true. Master, they replied, we have two swords among us. Enough, he said. Then, accompanied by the disciples, he left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray God that you will not be overcome by temptation. He walked away, perhaps a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed this prayer. Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of horror away from me. But I want your will, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him, for he was in such agony of spirit that he broke into a sweat of blood, with great drops falling to the ground as he prayed more and more earnestly. At last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them asleep, exhausted from grief. Asleep, he said, get up. Pray God that you will not fall when you are tempted.
Mm. Oh my goodness. May God honor the reading of his word. Okay, you guys, so I want us to be thinking through on each of them the idea of patience. Now, what you have to understand is we can have a patience for a good thing, and believe it or not, you can have a patience for a bad thing. Mm. Waiting for an opportune time.
That's what I just wrote down.
Is patience for a bad thing in some ways, but waiting for an opportune time is a good thing. Just do how I said it, you can hear the difference. Yep. But both Judas or Satan waited for an opportune time. Mm-hmm. Jesus waited for an opportune time in that he was seeking to fulfill the will of the Father. And so when I was studying this, I went through and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. And I had never just thought about it before. It's like, God, a person can have patience for the wrong reason. And I had never thought of that before because patience is listed as the fruit of the Spirit. Well, this type of patience isn't fruit. Okay, right. It's not the fruit of the Spirit. And so I wrote down, patience for good is the fruit of the Spirit, and it will build up, it will bring forth goodness, it will bring holiness, and it builds faith. Mm-hmm. Whereas patience for bad is psychotic. Patience for bad is not the fruit of patience as much as it is the plot to tear down and to destroy. Patience that is good fruit will build faith and build the kingdom. Patience that is psychotic, like not good, it's predatorial, and it will destroy our souls. And so as I was going through, I just real quick, I want you guys both just list out all the ways you see the patience in a bad way with Judas and Satan. Okay, just think through. How do you see patience happening with them?
Destroying. They wanted to destroy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did it imply that the religious leaders were watching Jesus?
Well, they also wanted it at a convenient time or place, you know, because of the crowds.
Right.
So Satan kind of played right into that one to help him.
Mm-hmm. There's the plotting we talked about. So listen to this. And it's crazy because when I was done, I was like, that sounds like an animal. So listen.
Hunting.
So it's predatorial was the word I chose to use. Mm-hmm. So it stalks to study. They watch Jesus. It stalks to study. It hunts for the moment of weakness. The intent of studying was to see where they could actually get the moment. That's why he was waiting for that opportune moment. It chases until exhausted. You think?
Wears you down.
Wasn't he weary? Guys, wake up. Wake up. You know, don't fall asleep. You'll fall in temptation. It chases to the point to bring you to exhaustion. It drops for destruction. The reason it's doing it is to destroy. It's to destroy the soul. It traps to rip you apart, like to separate you from people, to separate you from bearing a good testimony, to separate you from your character being evident that's in Christ, all those things. It seeks to paralyze in order to devour. You know, like as it comes at you, it's trying to consume you in such a way that you feel like you can't move. Like, what do I do? Like, I'm so frozen. And then it lures so that it can pull you into the temptation and drags you in. Okay, I was just like, oh, Lord, that is so descriptive. Mm-hmm. And so just thinking through that, what I'm like, if we've had a full grasp of that, we would really think, because he made it very clear. We talked about that on the third show, that Jesus says, you've been asked to be sifted. And he's told him, the predator's coming after you. Mm-hmm. He is stalking you. He's hunting. He's wanting to destroy you. But I am praying that you will not fail. So when you come back to me, when you remember me, mm-hmm. repent, and then go strengthen your brothers so that they mm-hmm. won't fall. Mm-hmm. You need to carry them. And so just thinking through that now, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to read these out to you, because I think there's no way to do this short of reading them. But then I listed out all the things that I saw about Jesus. And there, I'm sure there's more exhaustive, mm-hmm. but this is just on this passage. I'm not looking at any other scripture when I do this. So I wrote down, Jesus is a prepper. He invites the disciples to be a part of the preparation. Mm-hmm. He gives instructions, and when he gives instructions, he's clear. Mm-hmm. He tells them what to look for, what to do, who to talk to, what to say, and then what to do again. It is very clear directions. Mm-hmm. He does it at the right time. He sends them when the timing's right. He's eager to share what's on his heart in the meal and with them. Like, there's something so amazing when you're in fellowship with believers. You just can't wait for that time. Mm-hmm. Eager with that. He talks of his suffering that's to come. He gives clues that this will be his last meal, so he's wanting them to get it. Mm-hmm. He tells them to take the bread and wine in remembrance of him. He tells them there is a betrayer here. The predator is here. He mm-hmm. tells them he's here. But what blows my mind, they didn't know it. Mm-mm. They had no clue. He treated Judas the same way he did Peter and mm-hmm. John. So much so that all of the disciples, knowing their heart, were like, is it me, Lord?
Yeah.
You know, none of them thought it was one of them. They all assumed it was them. Mm-hmm. And so that his relationship, even with the one that he knew would betray him, wasn't even evident to those that were closest to him.
Yeah.
And boy, that's convicting when you really want to let loose on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He listens to their dispute. He allows them to do it, and he listens, but he straightens them out. He doesn't allow them to stay in their mess, okay?
Right.
He points out humility and service is the greatest. He explains that he's giving them the kingdom, and the Father gave it to him to give to them. He moves from general to specific, and he then goes in on Peter, and he tells Peter what's going to happen, and he gives Peter the details, and he even tells Peter how to get back to him. So when the predator is after him, and he can feel the chase, and he knows he's about to be ripped apart, the solution is repentance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so when we feel that we are in that dark pit of despair and that the predator is fast on our heels, the quickest way for us to deal with it is to ask the Lord, what do I need to repent?
Mm.
I'm coming to you, because James 4:8 says, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Mm-hmm. If you resist Satan, 4:7, that Satan will flee you. Mm-hmm. And so he gives him that. He tells Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail you. He recognizes Peter's failings, and he shares them with Peter. And don't fight the Lord when he reveals something to you. Deal with it, right? You don't want that. You don't want that predator dealing with you. He then shifts back to the group and tells them what they need to hear. He takes them and he takes the disciples with him to pray, because he's modeling for them. You're mm-hmm. always going to be going to the Father, because his patience, his opportune time, was he was here to do the will of the Father, to come to the cross, and he was patient for 33-something mm-hmm. years to get to that point. And so he talks to the Father, and he sweats his blood, and he's ministered to by an angel, and then he wakes the disciples up and tells them to guard themselves against temptation, for evil's on its way up, and that they need to walk by faith.
And pray.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? He's so beautiful. So I saw this quote this morning on Facebook. My friend, a missionary, she had posted it. It's by Henry Nouwen. And the question I put to myself was, do I listen? Because Jesus was listening to the Father. Judas was listening to lies. Mm-hmm. So who am I listening to? And this quote was just so profound. It says, listening is a form of spiritual hospitality, by which you invite strangers to become friends, to get to know their inner selves more fully, and even dare to be silent with you. That literally, to have the art of listening in such a way that you're inviting somebody into a spiritual hospitality, that you are so welcoming that you will listen. And that's what Jesus did. But he taught them through that listening. Mm-hmm. And so as he was hearing what they were struggling with, he countered it every single time. But we need to make sure that we're doing that with one another. And so that's one of the things that, as I was reading this, the other thing I wrote down that I think we need to understand is, when our faith is under attack, I'm just going to read what I wrote, with greater responsibility, there are greater demons. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When we are moving up and serving the Lord, that it just happens that the lies are swifter and the attack from the enemy in the flesh, the world, it just increases. If we remember Jesus returning to him, and that he's praying our faith, and when our faith is under attack, that Jesus is praying for us, our faith will not fail. Because he does come alongside us, together with mm-hmm. us, whatever is against us, and assists us. But the key is we have to turn to him, mm-hmm. and we have to go to him, mm-hmm. and he will give us what we need. That went too fast.
Still have 45 seconds.
45 seconds. She's like, no, you're not done. So I want to call you to repentance. I want to call you to turning to Christ. I want to call you to allowing him to increase your faith. Mm-hmm. And if you remember, the disciples asked Jesus for two things: Lord, teach us to pray, mm-hmm. and Lord, increase our faith. Mm-hmm. And that's what our prayers really need to be. And we have a model here of two. One that's patience led to destruction, and one's patience that leads to eternal life. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. Choose Jesus.
Amen.
It's better. Amen. He's always better. God bless.